There is so much to be thankful for. For the last several weeks, we've been looking at the Gospels primarily. We've realized that Jesus spent most of his time telling stories or parables, and each of them gave information to the disciples and gave revelation on how faith works. Jesus gave one of the great parables, the sower sowing the word, and he began that parable telling his disciples, if you don't understand this, you'll never understand anything I ever say. This is so fundamental. And the sower sowing the seed or the word of God. Then we've talked about the adrenaline of the Spirit. That's what faith is. When faith rises as we hear the Word of God, and we collect our faith, we build our faith, we add to our faith. And then when there is a need, we have enough faith in our account to believe God to meet that need, and we trust Him to do so. And the journey of faith is interesting. All of us are on it, each of us at different mile markers, but headed in the same direction, some more advanced than others, always. But today we want to look at an aspect of faith that is reality and that we all deal with. There was a boy, we don't know how old he was, probably close to becoming a teenager, because he had a history, a lifelong history of seizures ever since he was a baby. And the seizures would come upon the boy and at times cause the boy to fall into a fire, to be burned. And at other times, the seizures would cause the boy to fall into water, to drown. And the father of that child wanted him healed and came to Jesus and asked him to be healed. He said, Lord, since he was a baby, this has been happening. We can't get any help for him. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Imagine that, a conflicting confession right there in one sentence. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And the subject this morning is the curse of uncertainty. Now, none of us have arrived, and the good news I'm sharing with you today came to me in one sentence last Sunday afternoon. Mylon and Christy Lefevre were here and brought a good word, a faith-building word. After lunch, before they left town, Mylon said, Carl, I didn't have time today to share something that's very important, and he shared it with me personally. And when he did, I thought, wow, there's a lot here that is a blessing to me first. But he simply said, Abraham was the father of our faith. And yet it took Abraham, the great father of faith, 25 years to get out the help my unbelief part. 25 years. Now we honor Abraham. We pay tribute to him. Three of the world's greatest religions look to Abraham and call Abraham the father of their faith. Christians do it, Jews do it, and Muslims do it. They all look to Abraham. What a man of great faith. But there were 25 years that we know of in his life where he said the same thing this father said. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know what it's like. You're just like me. I trust God. I believe God. I believe his word. I take him at his word. And I too, if I'm honest, can say, Lord, I believe. But there's this part of me every now and then I struggle with. Unbelief tries to creep in. Lord, I do trust you. Lord, I do believe. But please help that part of me that tends to disbelieve on occasion. It's okay to be honest today in church. Lord, I do believe, but sometimes I wonder. You ever thought that? Now, when somebody makes a promise to you, there are two things that you should consider. When anybody makes a promise to you, two things about that person you should consider. First of all, you should consider the person's ability to keep the promise. Is he able to do what he said? Is he able? And the second thing you should consider about the person who makes a promise to you is the person's integrity. Is that person trustworthy? And when it comes to God and his promises to us, he passes the test on both of those issues. He is well able to do what he says. And he is trustworthy. His word and his name mean a lot to us as his children. Now let's look at Abraham as a character study just for a few minutes this morning as we talk about the curse of uncertainty. That part of us that creeps in on occasion and makes us think we really are not trusting God. And it reaches the point to where we confess it. Lord, I believe you, but help that part of me that's in unbelief right now. Abraham was 75 years old when God first spoke to him. 75. By the time most people are rocking in their chair, God is just beginning to do something great in Abraham. Somebody here today is 75 and say, that's good news to me. And from the first time God spoke a promise to Abraham and gave an instruction to Abraham, he had some faith working. The first record in Scripture of God dealing with Abraham when Abraham was 75 years old, God spoke to Abraham and said, get up from where you are, get away from your country, go into another land I will show you. And God said, I'm going to bless you there. I'm going to bless all families of the earth through you. Abraham was married to Sarai, and she was a barren woman. At the age of 75, they had never had any children. But as soon as God spoke his word to Abraham, he had some faith working. If you hear God speak to you, immediately you will have some faith working. Immediately, Abraham heard from God and moved, left his family, left his country, his homeland, and went to uncharted territory, not knowing where he was going, believing God would bless him there. God had promised him, I will make you a great nation, and I will make your descendants a multitude. And then after they got into this new land, so Abraham had enough faith to obey God. I mean, he heard one word and had some faith. After he got into this new land, God spoke to him again and said, lift up your eyes and look. Look to the north, look to the south, to the east and to the west, because God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you everything you can see. So look hard in all directions. That was another lesson in faith for Abraham, because it's important what we look at. God can give it to us if we can see it by faith. The question is, what are you looking for? As you struggle today between that part of you that says, oh yes, immediately, I believe God, .. but help my unbelief. It's important to control and to manage what we are focused on, what vision we have, what we are looking to happen in our life. You know, things have a way of coming to us that we are waiting for. and are looking for. God said, look all around. Everything you can see, I will give you. Now, this led Abraham to a place in his life where he and God had a conversational relationship. On a daily basis, they were in communion and in fellowship. They got to know each other, God and Abraham. Conversational relationship. And it was so comfortable for them to talk to each other that one day Abraham simply said to God, look, you've never given me any offspring. You've made me wealthy with livestock and silver and gold. But I have no heir to leave everything to. I guess it will go to a servant boy, Eleazar, that was born in Damascus. He's a servant in my home. I guess since you've never given me an heir, it will go to him. And God said, no. Conversational relationship. No, he shall not be your heir, but a son from your own body will be your heir. And God said, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. In Genesis 15, verse 6, the Bible says, Abraham believed the Lord, and God accounted it to righteousness. Now, this is that part of Abraham that says, yes, I believe. Lord, I believe. So much faith working in Abraham, but yet not perfected faith just yet. And God gave them 10 more years of waiting before Abraham's wife Sarai said to him, my barren's womb, you know it. I've never been able to conceive a child. My name is Sarai, which means barren one. You're married to me. And if God is going to give you a son, then here is my handmaiden, my servant girl, Hagar. I give you my blessing, Sarai told Abram. Go in and have relations with her and let her bear you a son. Now, how many, everybody adult in here? No children in here, are they? Sarai was probably tired of the sex. I mean, here's this 75, 85-year-old man by now trying to make God's promise come true. His wife, Sarah, she just was a victim. She just had to participate and go along because God said. One of the biggest mistakes in the history of the world, not just in Scripture, but in the history of the world, is the night Abraham and Hagar conceived and Ishmael was born. It gave birth to a religion of people that would never reconcile with the people of God. And I don't understand it all, but God still promised Hagar that he would make a great nation out of Ishmael. Those are the Arabs today. And God said, I'll make a great people out of them too. I don't understand it all. But now they're at age 85, Abraham is. 10 years he's waited on the promise of God, and he's getting anxious, and he's feeling an urgency to go ahead and help God out. And so he had relations with Hagar. Ishmael was born and lived in the house with Abraham and Sarah. Now, that was when Abraham was 85. Let's fast forward another 15 years almost, and we find Abraham now at age 99. 24 years ago when he was 75, God began promising him all of this. It's been 24 years, and all of that journey, there's been a time often when Abraham would say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Some of you are feeling that today. Lord, I'm trusting you with my child, but help me in this part of me that wants to doubt, that gets restless and impatient. Lord, I'm trusting you with my business, with my bills. I'm trusting you with my marriage, with my relationships, with my job. Lord, I'm trusting you. I do trust you, Lord, but help my unbelief. Abraham had the same struggle. That's the good news for us today. We're on a faith journey. And if Abraham, the father of our faith, took 25 years to reach a maturity in his faith, then that should encourage us. We've not arrived yet either. So now Abram is 99, and God spoke again to him and said, I will bless Sarah, your wife, and I will give you a son by this same time next year. What do you think Abraham did? Now he's 99. He's worn himself out. He's worn Sarah out. He's even worn Hagar out. And he's 99. Now, it's a shock enough when you're 75 and God says, you know. But then at 99, God hits the promise again. And Genesis 17:17 gives us Abraham's response. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He was 99. And he laughed at the promise and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And he laughed at the promise. Now, we're getting serious now. This is a serious infraction. But we do it if we're not careful. The times God has given a promise, you read a promise in his word, and you say, I believe that. But help my unbelief. In the Hebrew, the word laugh, Abraham laughed, fell on his face and laughed. The word laugh means to mock, to make sport of, and to make light of. Now, haven't we done that? If we'll check our history, each of us, carefully. There have been times we found a promise from God, and immediately we said, I believe that. But then it wasn't long before we struggled with a part of us that was in unbelief. And here's the truth that we need to learn today. Long delays in a promise often lead to weakened faith. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let a delay in God coming through weaken your faith. It does it to the best of us. Even Abraham fought it for 24 years. And when God reminded him, yeah, I'm going to give you a son. No, it's coming from your body and it's coming through Sarah. Not Hagar, but Sarah. And he laughed. Honest. When I'm 99, and if God speaks to me and says, I'm going to have a baby through Brenda, I will probably fall on my face and laugh. Let's not get too upset with Abraham. He finally made the mark, but it took him 25 years to get there. We're on the same journey. And so it's okay to deal with reality. Lord, I believe your promise. I believe you. I trust you. But help that part of me that is in unbelief right now. It's okay to be that real in the kingdom of God. Abraham, the father of us all, struggled. And after 25 years, he finally got it right. So there's hope for all of us. Now, here's Sarah. She's 90 years old. Can you picture? I understand why they're laughing. Can you picture a 90-year-old woman shuffling her feet across the kitchen floor, going over to the sink? She's got her walker there, you know. And people, when they reach that age, don't always pick up their feet. It's like they drag that bedroom slipper across the floor like that. Here's 90-year-old Sarah trying to get over to the pump where she can get some water and put her false teeth in a cup. And the very thought, on your 90th birthday, Sarah, you're going to be bouncing a brand new baby boy you've just given birth to on your lap. I mean, of course, it was laughable, they thought. So they mocked the promise. Now, Sarah had to deal with all of the pressure that comes with the promise if we let it. Now, here's Abraham. He's 100. And he's doing all he can in the natural, all he can in the flesh. With every ounce of energy, he's participating with the plan of God. He's helping the promise come through. I mean, he's doing his part. The pressure he must have felt. All the families of the earth and their future was riding on whether God would keep the promise he made to him. And then imagine the pressure for Sarah. She knew how much Abraham wanted a son. And she knew God had promised him that through her body. And can you imagine the pressure that came with knowing what Sarah knew? That God's promise to Abraham was dependent upon her. Have you ever carried a weight like that? You want the promise of God to come to pass for someone you love. And you feel the weight as if it depends on you. Well, Sarah felt the full weight of that pressure. And yet here she is. It's funny. It's laughable. On one side, a 90-year-old woman expecting to get pregnant. Probably had to tell her friend, I cannot go to bingo this Wednesday night. I've got Lamaze classes to go to. And if you're 90 years old and pregnant, try getting your insurance company to pay for it. Get on the phone with them for pre-approval. Sarah was the only person in town to pay her pediatrician with a Social Security check. I mean, it's funny. 90 years old. I'm wrapping this up because I'm either going to have to close quickly or I'm going to have way too much fun before it's over. God spoke at age 75. Abraham heard it, and some faith worked. Enough for him to get up and obey God, leave his homeland, go to a place God said, I'll show you when you get there. I'm going to bless you there. And then 10 years later, he wavered and stumbled and staggered at the promise and gave in for an easy way, he hoped. And that became a nightmare. And then God continued to speak, and at age 99 said it again. No, Abraham, that's not what I was talking about. That was your flesh. I'm going to do something in you that can only be done by the Spirit. But yes, I'm using you and I'm using Sarah. And he changed Sarai's name. It had meant barren one. God said, I'm changing her name now to Sarah, which means princess. And God said, I'm changing your name, Abram, to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. And it was then, even at 99, Abraham laughed at the promise. Now, you've probably laughed at the promise too. I have at time to time when it seemed so good and so different. It was like an alternate universe. God's promises and my reality sometimes have been so opposite. You know what it's like. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And you know, Lord, I believe that. But help my unbelief, because you say all things are going to work together for good, and can't nothing good come out of this mess right here, right now. You know what that's like. Lord, I believe, but Help my unbelief. And then you hear the promise of God, I will supply all of your needs. While you're looking at a stack of bills as high as the Eiffel Tower. And Lord, I believe you're going to meet my needs, but God, look at these bills and help my unbelief. It's okay. Abraham faced the same challenges to his faith development. And we're all on that journey. Now I'm closing with good news because Abraham got it right, and so will we. In Romans chapter 4, this is the Abraham we celebrate. This is the Abraham we honor. This is the father of our faith after he had achieved mature faith. In Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. I love some of the phrases in these verses, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Every promise God gave Abraham comes to us. The blessing of Abraham falls on us. That's part of what Christ did for us. He took the curse and gave us the blessing of Abraham in return. That the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, now right there. I'm glad Abraham didn't quit at 75 or 85 or 99. I'm glad he didn't quit 1 year short. When he laughed at the promise of God, when he was 99 and he broke out laughing, fell on his face, laughing, mocking what God had just promised him. I'm glad he didn't stop at 99. I'm glad he went on to 100 and gave birth to Isaac, the true gift God had. Now he's the father of us all. Abraham is the father of us all in the faith. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You ever done that? You ever spoken to nothing and said, I'm calling something out of you? We get that ability by faith from God and from Abraham, the father of us all. Call those things that are not as though they are. And then it said this, Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now, he wasn't quite there at 85 or 99, but by the time he turned 100, he was there. He knew what it was for hope to be contrary to the promise of God he had received. And yet, even though it was contrary to hope, he still believed in hope at 100. We're on the way there. In hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I love some of those phrases. He did not consider some things. For faith to rise to its highest level, there's some things we just can't dwell on. We're going to have to trust God above that and get around that. We can trust him for that. Even Abraham said, my body is unable to do that. But I'm not going to consider that my body's dead like it is. And he held out for God's best. He didn't even consider Sarah's womb dead anymore. Verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, it was 100 by now, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And I like this phrase in verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this is BC. This is before Christ came to be the sacrifice for our sins and to build a bridge between sinful man and holy God and restore fellowship and communion, God and man. This was the Old Testament. Abraham didn't have the Bible that we have. And yet somehow on his faith journey, he reached a point to where he no longer staggered at the promise. He no longer laughed at it. It took a while. The encouragement for me and for you, I hope, today is if it took that long for the father of our faith, the father of us all in the faith, to reach a place where he could trust God even when hope was against him, even when his body was as good as dead, and he knew it would have to be alive for God to keep his promise, then there is hope for all of us. Let's just don't give up the journey. And the final verse I like, verse 22, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, in the new covenant, the one we enjoy, the way we become righteous is by faith in Jesus. And we give him our filthiness. He gives us his righteousness. And that qualifies us to be, as Pastor Chris said, in right standing with God. It's a faith thing. We just believe Jesus is the Son of God. And that he died for us. And that he rose again. And he did everything necessary for us to be forgiven of our sin. So that we qualify to be in the presence of God without being consumed by fire instantly. But Abraham didn't have it that way. God looked at Abraham and called him righteous like he does us. In our case, it's because of what Jesus did. But in Abraham's case, it was because he finally got to where he would believe God. God the Father looked down and said, any man who can believe me like he finally is doing now at age 100, I'm going to call him righteous because of his belief. And the only thing, Mylon said it last Sunday, the only thing you have to do to please God is believe him. Just have faith in him. Mylon said it like this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The only thing that God requires to be pleased with us is that we believe him. So we're all on that journey together. None of us are at the end of the journey, thankfully. We all have some growing to do, but this word is to encourage us. If you're holding on to a promise and it's been 10 years, 25 years, whatever, don't give up and don't make the mistake of mocking or laughing. You can honestly be able to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. It's okay to be honest, tell the truth about it. And realize Abraham shared a similar journey and he arrived where he was supposed to be as a model so that all of us can too. Would you stand, everybody?